Hello and welcome to Speaking with Carl Thornton Jr. Glad to have you back. Good to be with you. Are you ready to grab hold of some more information to put into play? Information that you can use in your lives? That's what we've been working on for some years now. Yes, indeed. Bringing you information that you can use. That's why we ask you to be ready to grasp what will be shared so that you can put it into play in your lives. Maybe encourage some others through conversation to put it into play in their lives as well. Let me tell you what I'd like for you to really be ready to put into play. These are just two of the items now, just two of them. I'd like for you to put into play as much as you can, as much as you listen to, from one day to the next, from one week to the next. But we're into Thursday already. I want to share with you what's coming up, just a little of what's coming up. Be ready. Dr. Donna Adams Pickett is having a conversation with me this Saturday where we are going to focus on puberty. And I tell you what, she is one outstanding researcher and physician. And when I say researcher and physician, I mean she has her PhD and she has her MD. Her PhD for research, her MD for medical treatments. She's an OBGYN. Outstanding. And she and I will be talking about puberty this Saturday at 1 o'clock. This Saturday, February 9th, Dr. Donna Adams Pickett talking about puberty in girls and boys. And ladies and gentlemen, believe me when I say, we are going to be fortunate to have a very, very candid conversation about puberty. This Saturday, I'm telling you, parents, I want you tuned in. If for whatever the reason you're not able to catch us live by tuning in to 1550 AM, The Voice, at 1 o'clock, just know that somewhere around 3 o'clock, you'll be able to get it by going to my website, speakingwith.com, and by clicking on the link labeled Listen Online at your convenience. And if you have a search bar feature, you can type in her name, Dr. Donna Adams Pickett, or you can just go to the date, February 9th. And first off, Dr. Donna Adams Pickett, we are going to follow that conversation with one on overcoming sexual anxiety. We started that conversation about a week or two ago. We're going to conclude our conversation on overcoming sexual anxiety immediately following Dr. Donna Adams Pickett's discussion on puberty. On Sunday, February 10th, I want you to be ready to listen again to Power. We're going to be talking about Power on Spiritual Perspectives. Part 4 of Power. This isn't a repeat of what you've already heard. This is Part 4 of Power. And I'm telling you, we're bringing it to you from a perspective that may be somewhat different, but it's important to know because it has to do with how we live as children of God. Power, Part 4 of that this Sunday. That will be followed by A Time for Our Relationships, where I'm going to bring you Part 2 of The Power of Touch. And ladies and gentlemen, I want you to hear that. It's going to be so important. We're talking about building relationships. Building relationships. And I'm definitely going to be sharing some important information about the power of touch this Sunday. You can always go to speakingwith.com and click on the link labeled This Week's Guests and Topics in order to find out what we have planned for the week. And then go to Listen Online in order to actually hear what will be published to the site. All right, now I want us to pay homage to the future. I'm saying pay homage to it. Let's look into the future. We usually do that on Thursdays Most Thursdays, we take our look into the future, see what's happening, see what, you know, people are saying may be happening at some point down the road, whether that's 3 years from now, 20 years from now. I know a lot of you are planning to take some trips out of space. You already have your minds made up. You are going to take some vacation time to head to space. Well, I want you to hear what one of the ladies from Seeker.com has to say about some building that's going on in space, or well, at least they're working towards it.
We all spend roughly a third of our lives asleep, accessing dream worlds in our subconscious that are lost by the time we wake up.
Tricked you. No, we're not going to take a look at what's happening in space this time. Let's take a look at the future when it comes to our dreams and hacking. Our dreams and hacking. Is it scary enough? Maybe I shouldn't use the word scary enough. Maybe that's too strong. Is it concerning enough that people might be able to hack into our computers? In fact, do hack into computers? How about if there comes up a way to hack into dreams? Let's hear what she has to say.
But what if they didn't have to be?
You know, what she's saying, what if we didn't have to wake up and know we had a dream, but have no recollection of what that dream was about?
What about if we could modify sleep stages, or how about if we could guide dreams, improving our well-being, using it for learning, or solve things related with biases or anxieties, or how we can create technologies that can deal with that?
Judith Amores and the engineers, neuroscientists, and designers she works with at MIT's Media Lab, dubbed the Dream Team, are working to decode the unconscious mind. But these are no ordinary sleep scientists. They don't just want to understand the role that sleep and dreams can play in our lives. They think we can actually tinker with it.
Dreams are kind of our own virtual reality. It's very interesting how some people have been applying that for things related with traumas or phobias, because you can actually fight against those in a dream because you know it's not real, but still it's having an effect on you.
Sleep has long been recognized not only for being therapeutic, but also a source of inspiration. Visionaries like Nikola Tesla have used hypnagogia, the state of being half asleep, to doze their way to some of the world's most iconic art and inventions.
Hypnagogia has been associated to creativity and also problem solving. For example, Salvador Dali used to have these crazy surrealism paintings, beautiful. So he actually used this state as an inspiration. Thomas Edison as well. I think the song Yesterday by the Beatles was also created in a dream.
To harness this potential, the Dream Team is exploring the world of human-machine symbiosis. That is, designing technology intended for seamless integration into your life and your body. And if that sounds straight out of sci-fi, it is. The Dream Team recently debuted Dormio, a glove designed to boost creativity. Dormio recognizes a hypnagogic state, triggers a robotic voice to read you an audio cue or creative prompt in your sleep, and records your mumbled response.
It started as actually as a glove, like quick hack with a capacitive sensor that would detect when you're like falling into hypnagogia. Then like they added more sensors to really make it more accurate and more beautiful as well. So it was not a glove anymore, but it was more like a really cool kind of sci-fi neon style finger-worn device.
But what about our sleep states beyond hypnagogia? The Dream Team is developing additional prototypes to analyze even more of your body's biological cues. A deep learning computer model then deciphers this information to determine what stage of sleep a person is in.
So REM is REM, which is rapid eye movement. And then that's like the typical one where you have vivid dreams, like movie kind of dreams. You can actually be aware that that's a dream, and then it's what some people call lucid dreaming. The non-REM, we can separate that in three sleep stages, N1, N2, and N3. N3, it's particularly one that I'm very interested because it's associated with memory consolidation.
Targeting one or more of these sleep stages could be like finding the secret entrance to your own subconscious. The challenge is actually opening that door without waking you up. So the Dream Team is on the hunt for signals or stimuli that can do just that. And Judith has sniffed out a particularly useful tool, our sense of smell.
The sense of smell is directly connected to the two parts of the brain that are connected to the memory and the emotional systems. This is the bioessence, or also essence, device. So it's a wearable device that you can use it as a brush, or you can also use it as a clip. We have a transformer, a Bluetooth, and microcontroller. We have these bottles that have a cotton filter inside, and then these discs here vibrate at high frequency. In this case, we have rose fragrance.
During your sleep, this device would be programmed to release a scent familiar to you that you've already associated with a learned behavior, such as smelling a rose while you study a new language.
By nature, sleep is a state that helps us with memory consolidation. To trigger certain stimuli, it could be sound or it could be smell. You trigger that same stimuli while you're asleep. And then what happens is that you're strengthened that memory.
The toys and tools dreamed up in the Media Lab are usually controlled by a simple smartphone app, making it easier for people to get the results they want, whether it's facing your fears in a dream, breaking a bad habit, or just getting a better night's rest.
Most of the research that has been done in the past in terms of sleep was done in research labs. If you go to a sleep lab, they have the EEG that monitors brain activity, they have heart rate monitors, and so many different cables that sometimes it's also hard to fall asleep. So what we try to do is to get that amazing research that has been developed over the years and so trying to bring it in a more wearable manner with flexible materials, but also, of course, cheaper.
And for Judith and her team, paving the way for that mutual symbiosis with technology is what the future is all about.
To me, like, the line between art and science is really blurry, and I really like to see that they are both merged. Technology should be more like a vitamin rather than a painkiller, something that can enhance us, that can help us, especially when we are talking about interfacing with unconscious mind. In the past, that has been used a lot for negative outcomes, for propaganda, for selling you stuff, for politics. We believe it's really important for users to give full control. How we can use that for positive outcomes, for really helping people to be a better version of themselves.
This episode was presented by the U.S. Air Force.
What do you think about that, ladies and gentlemen? Using technology to help us respond to our dreams almost in real time. Okay, I got to tell you, one of the questions in my mind as I listen to that is this. Even though I know this is not what they intend for it to do, would that setup in some way interfere with sound sleep? I know that one of the things that she proposes that it might help people get better sleep, but I'm just wondering, man, with all that activity going on, and we know before we lie down and close our eyes that it's supposed to happen, would it interfere with our sleep? I don't know. Are you ready to put the little wraparounds on your fingers and use the fragrances to help recall, help you with your memory? Y'all know how that is. You've had some experiences where you were doing something, reading a book, playing a game, and there were certain fragrances that were in the air as you played that game or read that book. And sometime later, you smelled that fragrance again, and the activity you were engaging in previously came back to your mind. Even if you engaged in activity 20 years ago, back in a few.